Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Frank Benali.
This is Klaus Lundekvam.
I'm Matt Letitia.
Dean Hammond here.
And you're listening to In That Number.
Number with me, Kevin the Moscow Mush Milverton. Find me on Twitter at Moscow Mush.
And me, Ray Hunt. You can find me on at RayHunt84.
Follow the show on at Number Podcast on Twitter.
And on Facebook, Instagram, and Telegram on In That Number Podcast.
Email us with your thoughts and feelings on InThatNumberPodcast@gmail.com.
And if you like what you hear, consider showing your support by visiting buymeacoffee.com/InThatNumber.
Let's march on in.
Welcome back to another episode of In That Number. This is episode 210 with everyone on their international break. Me and the Moscow Mush are bringing a special guest to you this week. We are pleased to be joined by Saints play commentator Ian Wilding. We're going to chat over his career, his match day preparations, which I'm really, really keen to find out about, and how Saints have fared so far this season. But before we bring him in, let's get in the Moscow Mush, Kevin Milverton. Kevin, how are you?
I'm not too bad. A little bit under the weather. I mean, the weather has been atrocious this week, so it's probably no surprise.
Oh, no. It's been all right here. We had a little bit of an Indian summer.
Yeah. I heard it's like 20-something degrees.
Yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, okay, right. Let's bring in our star this week, the man who gets to sit next to Dean Hammond every match day, Ian Wilding. Ian, welcome along.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Definitely our pleasure. And this is one I've been wanting to do for a while now. So yes, it's great to have you on. And Kev, it's been 210 episodes, and we finally got someone on who knows what they're talking about and an expert in covering football.
The pressure's on now.
So anyway, firstly, how are you? And I was going to ask, actually, if you're enjoying your break from Saints this week, but you're actually covering the women's team this weekend against Durham, so not much of a rest for you, is it?
No, funny enough, it's because this season with Saints, it's the women's, it's the under-21s, sometimes it's the under-18s, and it's the senior team as well. So there was one point last week where I think I did four Saints games in 5 days.
Wow.
So at every level. So yeah,
of course, because we had Stoke, didn't we? Stoke.
Yeah,
week,
absolutely. So that was on the Tuesday, and then there was the Academy Friday, Saints Women's Sunday, and the men's in between. So, but no, I'm really enjoying it, and it's nice to be able to do the women's on a Sunday as well, and it keeps me going. I mean, I don't mind that, to be honest. Keep the football fix going. So, no, there's no such thing for myself as an international break as such, but I don't really mind that too much.
No, well, at least you're not actually travelling up to Durham, because, I mean, you can't get much further away than that, can you? So it's a home game. So.
That's very true. That's very true. I think there was talk last season of going up to Durham, but it clashed with the men's at the same time, so we didn't actually go up to Durham. So that would have been quite something. And they're actually at Durham a week before Christmas this season, so that could be an interesting trip up if that happens.
Wow, yeah, good timing. So you've been travelling up and down the country this season for Saints play, which is pretty much my dream job, really. I mean, and you get to do it alongside Dean Hammond as well.
It is fantastic. It's great to have somebody like Dean there as well, with his knowledge of the game. He's been brilliant, really, from the moment he started this season. So, yes, I'm loving it at the moment. It's been a mixed bag as far as the score lines are concerned, but there's been a lot of trips up north. We've had Sunderland, Middlesbrough, and funnily enough, first half of the season, there's a lot of trips up north, isn't there, really?
Yeah.
So we're getting all the miles in quickly.
Started at Sheffield as well, didn't you?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but no, I'm really enjoying it at the moment. It's been good fun, and you know, I think to actually have a look at Saints week in, week out as well, and have a look at how they're getting on, and comparing one performance to the week before as well.
That can be quite painful at times, trust me. But yeah, how is Dean Hammond anyway? Like, because we actually had him on the show a while back, didn't we, Kev? And we both agree that he was just one of our favourite guests. He was just a really happy guy and just great to have on.
Yeah, he's very good. He's a really nice guy, very good to work with. You know, I like how he's constructive, but he's also positive as well. You always feel when you speak to Dean that the winning run is just around the corner, even when they've lost four games in a row, and he was right in the end. So he's great company. You see him in the media room before. We often travel up differently just because of location. He lives in Brighton. But I see plenty of him before the game and after the game. But he is really good company. As I say, he always feels like he finds the positives to look into a Saints performance where you feel... when it seems like doom and gloom, certainly after that defeat at Middlesbrough, you think, where's the next win going to come from? But as Dean kept saying, a couple of wins and things can change, and that's what happened. I'll listen to Dean next time he says that, and it makes us all feel better when he says things like that anyway, when it's doom and gloom.
So I guess having him alongside you is great. It's great to stay positive. But yeah, I was going to ask you actually, how do you stay so positive and in control on the mic? Because especially in the second half against Rotherham, I mean, how do you not get angry or swear? Because I know if Kevin was doing your job, he wouldn't last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I've come close a couple of times, and I've got a phrase a couple of times where I just say it off the cuff when there's been goals in the past where I've said, oh, my goodness me. And that's basically because I'm quite close to saying something I probably shouldn't be saying on air. This is the next best thing I can say. But it's, sometimes not easy. Especially when matches are frustrating at times. You know, the Rotherham game was frustrating, wasn't it? Second half.
Oh, God, yes.
And it's not easy. But touch wood, sometimes it's... I mean, in the past, when I've been doing games, not as Saints, but when I've had... I mean, when I used to do Eastleigh commentary, when I used to have guest commentators, sometimes they'd give us a player who's never done commentary before. And they've had no media training or anything. You think, oh, no, you know, if he says one... thing out of line here, it's me that's in trouble. So it's,
and you've got to apologize and stuff.
Sometimes, but we've got away with it so far.
I mean, Dean Hammond does have a history of swearing live on TV.
yeah, that was the 2012 promotion party, wasn't it, when Saints beat Coventry, and he was being interviewed on the side of the pitch, and he let it out a little bit. But yeah, that was brilliant. We did remind him about that actually when he was on the show, and that was great.
There's one time to do it, I think that's it, surely.
Absolutely, yeah. You get a free pass. Mind you, we're quite a sweary podcast anyway, so luckily I haven't got to edit out or apologise for Kevin, because I just let him go.
Why the fuck not?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Just I'm interested in your journey and how you got to where you are now. Where did it all start with you?
It all started up at Leeds University actually in 2004.
Really? Yeah, I'm a Leeds man too.
Oh, you really? Okay.
Yeah, yes. I joined in 2000. When did you graduate?
I graduated in 2007.
Ah, it's 2008. Well, there you go. We're there at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. Just the 1 year out. We could have passed each other many times.
I started in 2004 as well. So, yeah, well, wow. That's amazing.
Was it Bodhall you were at, Kev?
Sorry?
Where was it? Boddington?
Boddington. In Boddington Hall. Yeah.
Oh, mine was. I was at Norwich Halls, which was Leeds Trinity University, which was slightly outside. So, yeah, but that was obviously quite a. Obviously, you probably found yourself, you know, when you go up there to start with, it's always a strange time coming from down south to up to Leeds. But I was there from 2004. Basically, it all came about because so randomly, I remember going to an open day at the college that I was on and it just going, finding different flyers, different universities. And I just saw a course which said sports journalism. And I didn't even know it existed at the time because it was pretty much in its infancy. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. That's something I've always wanted to do. And then I did the course, graduated in 2007. And then it took me probably a couple of years to actually get first radio gig. I actually worked in HMV for a couple of years after graduating. And then in 2009, I got my first free gig. It was basically working for a station called Delta Radio, which is no longer around anymore. It's a station in Borden, which was a commercial radio station. But that was doing work for free. It was on the telephone doing reports. I think my first game was something like 4 marks against Chidding Fold. And it was a local game, and I was building it up like it was Manchester United, Manchester City, because of the local rivalry between the two there. But they were something like Division 11 or something.
A lot of soldiers and that sort of thing, isn't it?
There were actually, from that kind of area. And it kind of went from there, really. So I did that. And then within a few months, I ended up presenting the sports show on a Saturday, which again was for free. And then it kind of developed into working Monday to Friday, presenting the Drive Time show. So that was for a couple of years. And then since then, I think I've worked for something like 15 radio stations, 3 online TV channels, few football clubs, and that's been probably 15 years now. And I spent a big chunk of that at local BBC Radio Solent as well. So it's been quite a time. So it's something which I've loved every minute of it, to be honest. And it's gone so quickly. I can't believe it's about 15 years in January, I think it is now. I've been in radio altogether.
That's amazing. That sounds like something that I would really, really want to do. But I mean, I suppose the only downside to your job is working at Fratton Park. But, you know, every job has its bad parts, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, it's very true. Yeah. Yeah, it's and funny enough, they're doing well, aren't they, at the moment? They're
just gonna stop winning. Yeah, we're going to see it. We're going to see a division with Saints, Bournemouth and Pompey next year. So, hey.
I know. I've never thought we'd see the day.
No.
You have 3 at the same division. It's looking likely at the moment.
Very likely, yeah.
Unless Saints can get up, yeah.
But yeah, what's the best part of doing what you do?
I'd say the variety, definitely. And the thing is, you come and, I mean, just doing, I know it sounds silly, but just doing the football commentary on a Saturday and you turn up and every game going into the match, you're predicting what's going to happen and everything I predict never happens. It's just that you just never know what's around the corner. And I like the fact that it's the commentary on a Saturday and the Tuesday, which is the fun side of things. But I actually quite like the preparation as well. Obviously, you put hours and hours of work into it. But that plus the reading sport bulletins as well in the week for Radio Solent and maybe producing shows, reading the news. So I'm kind of doing different things throughout the week. So it's never dull.
And then always, just always busy.
Watching football is just fantastic, really, isn't it, for a job? So,
oh my God, yes.
You can't beat it, really.
Yeah.
Those are the highs. What about the lows? What are the worst parts?
Is it Pompey? It's Pompey, isn't it? It's got to be Pompey.
No. Apart from going to Fratton Park, yeah.
Well, and also I'd say as good as that is, the variation, the same time is it's finding that balance. Obviously, I wouldn't change it, but you know, you do work Saturdays and Sundays, but you end up working as a freelancer in the week. So that's another thing. So you're kind of having to balance everything up, really, with trying to find some time off here and there where you can. Obviously, I've got a 3-year-old at home as well. So it's finding that balance with everybody. As I think it's that work-life balance is always a difficult thing. But then I think that's the thing. If you do that kind of job, then it does involve Saturday work. So I love every minute of it, but it's just that finding that time. It's not like a 5 days a week, you have 6 weeks off holiday. You still have a good chunk of holiday, but you just have to find it somewhere else and take as much time off in the summer as you can, really.
So the only time you get off, really, and you have to come on a Saints podcast and talk about everything. So, yeah, we're taking away your family time. God damn it.
No, it's fine. I'll sit here with a beer. It's fine.
Brilliant. have you got your three-year-old a Saints shirt?
No, I haven't. No. I actually was going to take her to a women's game the other day, but she didn't want to go.
Oh.
I was going to take her to a Saints women's match when I wasn't working, but she had a last-minute U-turn.
None of my kids go with me either. I always try and get my girls to go to the football, but they're not interested at all.
No. That's the next thing, though. On the list for Christmas, I'll have to get her one, definitely.
I did want to ask, like, over the years, like, working your way up through local radio, there must have been the odd disaster here or there, you know, some technical difficulties that might have made it difficult.
Oh, all the time, yeah. I mean, even now when we dial in, there's the red and green light we have to wait for to turn on. And the relief when you see the red and green light come on, that you're about to
broadcast. It actually works.
It's a fantastic feeling, yeah. So we do, I mean, going to the grounds as well, it's, you know, basically for a phone line, and you're just relying on them all working at the ground. So we went up to Middlesbrough early September, and there was some issue with the phone lines up there and the ICN lines. And we got on eventually, but I said to Dean Hammond, with about half an hour to kick off, I said, I'm sure we're going to get on here. We've come all the way up to Middlesbrough, and it might be a wasted trip.
Just watch the game.
Live stream it on your phone or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
Watch the game from the gantry and enjoy it, yeah.
Absolutely. There's always a way, though. It's a weird kind of thing with technicals. You always find a way to be able to fix it in some way or another, whether it's on the phone or anything. Somehow it always seems to work out. I think there's been two games where I've watched in the past where I've had no chance, and I've just had to watch the game, which has been quite nice.
Evening off, yeah, brilliant. Actually, we have technical issues every single week, don't we, Kev? There's always something going wrong. It's just
it's absolutely guaranteed.
Yeah.
Things very, very rarely happen how you want it to happen sometimes at the football.
Yes.
And I think actually we've had, there was one game where, I mean, it wasn't a club issue, it was something from externally. And it was against Sunderland, where the first minute didn't go out. But of course, Sunderland didn't go and score in the first minute.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, you know, that's what you call Sod's Law, isn't it?
Yeah.
Things like that. But although I don't think Saints fans really cared.
No.
They were probably quite happy not to watch that goal again, to be honest.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah, you're now working for the Saints streaming service, Saints Play. Just tell me, yeah, how did that come about, and how's it going for you this season?
Yeah, it's going really well. It all came about, I started working for the club as a freelancer back in 2017, and they were looking for a freelancer to cover some of their games. That was basically just for the under-21s, all the homes. So I did that, and then it's kind of grown from there, and it's gone from under-21s, and then there was a bit of a gap during COVID where it stopped for a couple of years, and then it came back again. And then obviously the women's football, when they went up to the championship, we started that up in 2022. So we're into the second season now. And I think it's the fact the Saints are actually in the championship because of the TV rights and the streams. It's that basically the Saints wanted to do an equivalent of the iFollow service. So they wanted a TV commentary to go over the top of it. So they got in touch with me about June and asked me if I was interested in doing it. And I pretty much said yes straight away. And it kind of just went from there. So the fact they went down to the championship meant that they could do it, which obviously isn't ideal. It'd be better to be doing it in the Premier League and the rights were different. But, you know, just to be able to do it and go around the country, you know, and do 46 games is, you know, something really exciting for me, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Really, really good. But, yeah, what I really, really want to know is your match day preparations, like how you work in the lead up to the games, and, you know, getting to know the opposition, and do you have to like memorize the shirt numbers, etc.?
Yeah, you do, and some of the names, if you're not familiar with them, you just have to keep going over the names sometimes over your head over and over again, especially some of the double barreled names. Luckily, the double barreled names, I think Saints have got all of them.
We've
now,
got so, all of them, yeah.
Yeah, so they've become quite familiar. But I tend to find, obviously, you know, quite a lot about the Saints players anyway, but you write the stats down. You know, I've got every stat about the last time each player scored a goal for Southampton. You know, there's one or two who have never scored a goal, so we'll probably go over the top if they do score. first time they score a senior goal. But then I tend to find most of the research then goes to the opposition. So I've got a section about the club's history, how they did last season, how they've done previous seasons, cup competitions, etc. I normally have about 4 or 5 bullet points for head-to-head, some of the standout games, the last time they played each other, the referee, with the referee details about him, and just general stats and news about the club. I often go on News Now, and there's loads and loads of information on there, isn't there, about each team. And information on each player for the opposition and how many goals they've scored, how many assists. So it does take some time, and you end up having a big old scrapbook of facts by the end of the season.
And then you remember it, and it's just ingrained.
Yeah, well, funny enough, it's amazing how you can forget as well, because
yeah.
You can do a game and all the focus is on these players, and then Saturday at 6 o'clock comes around and somebody could ask you, and it's weird, it just goes out your head.
Yeah.
Which I suppose is good, because maybe more useful things come into your head instead. It's not just championship players all the time engulfing my brain.
But I mean, you can get all the research online and stuff like you can do all that, but it doesn't teach you how to pronounce the names properly. And do you ever come across a team sheet and you see a name and you think, oh shit, I'm going to mess this one up?
Yes, very much so. Yeah, there's one or two where there are times as well where it flows and you know it's off the tongue in the first half and you think, oh, it's fine, I've cracked this now, and then the second half comes along and you know. All of a sudden they're on the attack and you think, oh, what's his name again? You know, that just a human moment just goes out of your mind. And I mean, it was a Rotherham fullback, Lembakisa, last week. And yeah. I was saying his name all game. And then by 70 minutes, it just like...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
For some reason, I had a mind blank. It can happen quite easily. But I tend to find, you know, if you go on YouTube, you can find pronunciations.
I do that, actually. And yeah. Kevin, actually, is very, very skilled in languages. I mean, he speaks about 20 of them. So, I usually go to him beforehand when there's a name that I don't know how to pronounce. And I guess he kind of makes me look better. But he gets wound up quite easily when people can't pronounce players' names. Isn't that right?
The worst one is, and he's been playing for us for so long, and nobody can pronounce his name properly, is Jan Bednarek. Everyone calls him Bednarek.
Yeah, it
just drives me mad. I can't help it, you know. It was the same when we had Artur Boric in goal, and everyone keep calling him Boric.
Yeah.
And even just because I think the commentators, they put so much care and take so much time. I'm trying to find out the pronunciations, but it's just like a few of them sort of slip through, and so yes, but the name gets it sort of ingrained in a different pronunciation.
That's true.
Yeah.
I recently had some issues with that Leeds defender who scored against us. That was it, Pascal Strouk?
Strouk. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
So I mean, I did my notes, I had to write his name out phonetically so I wouldn't mess it up, and it turns out that I still did, and I still am now.
Yeah, easy mistake to make. And also, I think with some of these Saints names, you hear pronunciations with some of them differently as well each time, because you know
exactly.
You hear Mara and Mara.
Yeah.
You know, that's another one in the Moa Mayor or Moa Mayor.
Yeah, that one gets me all the time.
So I've heard so many pronunciations for that one as well. And then I also find if you listen to a YouTube commentary or sometimes a local BBC preview with team news, you're listening and you're just thinking, well, I hope they've got this right themselves, because otherwise I'm just saying what they've said. And they might have just copied somebody else who's might have got it wrong. So,
that's the way it goes, isn't it?
In the lap of the gods sometimes.
Anyway, on that thought, so I thought I'd help you out, Ian, with your preparation for our upcoming fixtures. And I've sourced some names that I think you might have some trouble with on our upcoming opponents. And I wondered if you wanted to give them a go between the two of you, if you're up for it. So what I'll do is...
I'll do that one.
I will copy and paste it on the chat in this... so here's your first one.
Got that one. I'm going to say Alahaya Sayed Danish.
Kevin?
I was going with Alahaya Sayed Manish.
Okay. By the way, I don't know if these are right. So whatever you say is going to be fine. So that's from Hull. And another one from Hull, a Turkish player.
Dogukan Sinik.
Doyakan Sinik.
I would not know where to start.
G needs a breathe on it, though. That's
really?
Yeah. Like Turkish German used to play for a city.
Gundogan.
Yeah, it's just like Gundogan, isn't it?
Next one. From Preston, Montenegro player.
Osmajic.
Oh, I'd say that's right, yeah.
Yeah, Militin Osmajic.
Osmajic.
Osmajic,
Kevin, you'd
if you say confidently enough, it's like no one questions it sometimes either.
Yeah.
Yes.
Kev, you'll be fine with this one. It's Polish. But he's a Leeds player.
Christian Bielik.
Oh, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, Christian Bielik, yeah.
Bielik. I didn't know if that was Bielik or Bielik. That's me.
Bielik.
Bielik.
Yeah, the stress would be on the first syllable, I think. Christian Bielik. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. Next one. This should be quite easy, I think. From Cardiff.
Manolis Siopis.
Yeah, Manolis Siopis.
Got one from Coventry now. A Jamaican that was born in Doncaster.
Well. Is it Yol Labitabodia?
No idea.
Latibodia.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I'd say Latibodia. Joel Latibodia.
See, when you come to cover these games now, you're going to be thinking of us, so.
Well, because it's Jamaican, it's not going to be like Yo Peru, so I'd say Joe.
A German?
I just hope some of these don't score throughout the season.
A German for, who does he play for? He plays for Blackburn.
Samir Talalovic.
Talalovic. Ah, when I was writing that down, it was like, no, I didn't pronounce it like that. But now I'm looking at it, yeah, you made that sound.
Sounds Bosnian to me.
You see, maybe he is, yeah. Next one. Is from Holland and Swansea.
Nathan Tioion.
That's weird, isn't it?
I've got a feeling it might be if he's Dutch, it's got maybe a Nathan.
Oh, really? Is it Nathan Ake?
Ooh. Yeah, because everyone calls him Nathan.
Mm.
Yeah, that's spanner in the works.
Sorry. Kevin, this is right up your street. So this is the last one, you'll be pleased to know. This is a Ukrainian. Now, Kev, you can speak this.
Okay.
And he's from Swansea also.
Okay, so Mykola Kuharevich.
Mykola Kuharevich.
Wow.
That's a better one. I think yours is better.
I mean, I do speak Ukrainian and Polish and Russian.
Yeah.
I'm learning a bit of Turkish at the moment.
So. Yeah, he knows about 20 languages. But yeah, that's about it. But yeah, all those players there that you're going to be coming up in the next couple of weeks. So,
God, I just came into a cold sweat just looking at them. So,
luckily, they won't all play for the same team.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll be in trouble then.
One a little bit closer to home, actually, that I've never been corrected on. Saints women goalkeeper. Is it Kayla Rendell or Rendell? Because every single week I hear it change.
Yeah, I've heard different versions. What I need to do is I need to track down her mum and find out from the horse's mouth, because I know she goes to all the games or even speak to Kayla herself. But I think it's Kayla Rendell.
Is it? See, I said that at first, but then I heard someone's called it Rendell. So I was like, oh, OK, I'll just call her Rendell. But yeah.
Saint Sophia Farrow or Farrow?
Well, Farrah.
Sophia Farrow, I believe. And the other one is Megan Collette, and it could have been Collett.
Oh, I always call her Colette. Yeah, no, we had Rachel Panting, who used to play for the women's team on the show, and I asked her, how do you pronounce Sophia Farrah? And she told me it was Farrah. So I was like, oh, okay. Mm. But everyone calls her Farrow. Farrower? Farrow? I was like, okay. Mm. You'll be pleased to know that I've checked the Durham women's team and they all seem fairly easy. So
yeah, that's true. And hopefully they're a bit easier than Sunderland, because Sunderland women came down to Southampton in September.
Yes, they did.
And they obviously they didn't have the stripes. And you think, oh, that's right. They got their away kit and got the stripes over the numbers. But the away kit was silver on the back of fluorescent yellow shirts, which was impossible to make out the numbers. Absolutely impossible. And the three in midfield were all about the same height, all blonde haired.
No, disaster.
Same hairstyle. And it's just like, I mean, luckily the guy from the media Sunderland team gave me the exact formation and what positions they're all in. So you think, oh, whose idea that was? That's one of my great gripes, that is like not being able to read numbers on the back of shirts. And I think Sunderland has got to be the worst for that one. It's a bit of a rant there.
Well, I'm colourblind, so whenever I see a team that goes in red and green against each other, I can't see them. They are, yeah. So I hate it when a home team wears red and the away team's wearing green. It's like, oh, for God's sake.
That's all you need.
Yeah, it's horrible. But yeah.
Take it back to the Saints and the season so far and what you've kind of made of it, because it's been, well, it's early days, but it's been a bit of a rollercoaster. And we started off quite well, a little unbeaten run, and then getting spanked at Sunderland and then by Leicester. And Ipswich and Borough.
Keep them coming,
Now we've got another little unbeaten run, albeit with that terrible draw against Rotherham at the end of it. What is going on with the Saints team?
Well, again, there's no consistency, has there, at all so far this season. It's just been all over the place. It just hasn't settled down, it feels. You know, it's not like they win one and then they lose one, win one. It's just like, say you can put it into chunks of three so far, really, can't you? That 10 points in the first four defeats, bringing it back with the last three matches, but then that frustration not being able to beat Rotherham on that 11th game of the season. So there's been encouraging signs, but I feel like it's also frustrating in equal measure, because I do feel like those first few games of the season, you actually looked at those first few fixtures and they were pretty favourable, really. Sheffield Wednesday away first game, Queen's Park Rangers at home, two sides now at the bottom end of the championship. Plymouth away was a good win, I think. They were, considering how well they've done this season. But what it feels like is, when you look at the season so far, Rotherham aside, which Saints should have beaten, is it feels like Saints have beaten the sides at the bottom end and they're losing against the teams at the top. So you've got, even Middlesbrough won five in a row now and they're moving their way up the table. The other three, Ipswich, Leicester, Sunderland, teams at the top end of the table. So with Saints at the moment, it feels like they can beat the teams at the bottom. But then when it comes to actually playing the teams that they should be competing with and in and around the top, they're not getting the results, apart from Leeds, where they won. So it has been frustrating. So at the moment, it feels like that's Saints are pretty much where they deserve to be in the table, really.
Yeah, and that was my next question. I said, what sort of team do you think we are? I mean, are we underperforming or, you know, are we about right?
I think it's about right so far. I mean, the thing is with Saints as well, now you look at the top two with Ipswich, the way they're playing, and Leicester. I know there's a long, long way to go, but they already seem to be running away with those two. Mm. So realistically, from what you've seen, maybe somewhere between fourth and eighth would be my prediction for Saints this season. I mean, if you can be in and around those playoffs at the moment, considering what the table's like, you'd probably take that, wouldn't you? A playoff finish at the end of the season, the way things have been going.
Yeah, I mean, so the fans are, well, they're getting frustrated and it's going to take some time, obviously. But there was some boos against Rotherham. I think Flynn Downs has called out the fans a little bit towards the end there. And is it a case of let's just be patient and, you know, it's going to improve. It has to.
Yeah. And you can understand the frustration, can't you, really? Because what they should have done was killed them off after 3.5 minutes, because there was a goal on 2.5.
Adam Armstrong put one in as well.
Yep. He put one in. And that, I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but that half an hour before Matt Taylor changed his tactics and put five at the back was when that really should have been the moment where you take advantage and not just score one goal and then go in off the back of half time and just keep the ball for 5 minutes. Because it feels like Rotherham then, while it's still one goal, you feel like the belief grows at Rotherham. You think, well, they can get one here. Because the tension you could feel naturally started to build at the ground when it's only one goal with half an hour to go, 20 minutes to go.
Yeah, it certainly so was for me, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a big opportunity missed, I felt like, in that early stages of the Rotherham game. I mean, there was a lot of possession again, 80%. And, I mean, to be fair to Rotherham, their goalkeeper...
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Incredible, wasn't it? And I do feel like if that second goal went in on three and a half minutes, Saints probably win that game 5-0.
Yeah.
So it is a case of fine margins sometimes, isn't it? I do feel like Russell Martin, the last three games, it's easy to say when they picked up 7 points, but it feels like there's more understanding now with the players, what they want from him. And we've seen at Swansea and MK Dons where the first season was always worse than the second season. The second season, he's always built on the first campaign. But obviously for Southampton, they don't want to be finishing bottom half and then finishing 11th, like at Swansea and MK Dons. They want to be up there straight away. And if they're not, then next season, you know, you've got to be pushing for automatic promotion. So I do think he's got the right idea. He's got a good philosophy. It feels like the players are starting to understand what he wants to do. And I feel like if it all clicks, it could be really exciting. But no doubt, I think frustration is the main word for Saints so far, really, this season.
Oh, yeah.
Would you say, I mean... Would you like Russell Martin's brand of football? I mean, you talk about it clicking. Would you say it probably hasn't quite clicked just yet?
Yeah, I feel it's starting to. I do really like the way that he tries to play. When it all comes together, I mean, we've seen it even in the first game of the season, that match against Sheffield Wednesday, where it was great to see Saints. I know Sheffield Wednesday now bottom, but...
And we had Nathan Teller then.
Nathan Teller, James Ward-Prowse made a difference. Jack Stevens obviously fit, so... That did make a difference. But just to see Saints not giving Sheffield Wednesday an inch as soon as they took the lead on 87 minutes from Shea Adams was great to see. Mm. And that is when you feel like Saints can just play like that. It's easier said than done sometimes, of course, because the opposition is going to be a lot better. But once they go in front and it all works, I mean, we saw against Leeds how well it just clicked in the first half, where they were just playing with so much confidence. They were doing things that perhaps they weren't doing before out of fear. So if they can just get that into a 90-minute game, we've not really seen it for 90 minutes yet.
No.
So if we can see it all click, and I think it will come, definitely, but it just has to be over 90 minutes. I feel the response from the players when Saints concede this season could be a lot better, and I think Russell Martin said that himself. Mm. Sometimes I feel like they've gone away from their identity when they concede, and all it takes is 5-10 minutes, and... You know, you can allow the side to score again. So they just need to keep to their beliefs, I feel, even when they concede a goal, rather than panic, which it feels like they've done a couple of times this season.
Too much, yeah. Mm. I mean, we had someone comment on our Instagram feed after the Rotherham game. And he said that even when we've won, I mean, it hasn't been that impressive because we've had two last-minute winners. We had two penalties against Norwich. We had a free kick at Stoke and we had a lucky rebound off the post against Rotherham. I mean, is that fair to say the wins that we have had haven't been that great either?
Yeah, they've been by that one goal, really, haven't they, apart from Leeds?
Yeah, that was the only one, which I can't help but think that that was the blip.
The way it's gone, which is why, you know, you just want to see a couple more performances like Leeds after the international break and you start to think, well, they can really push on here and do so, and maybe... I know it's difficult away from home, but just to start taking more control of games away from home as well. Because as you say, there was late drama against Plymouth, late drama against Sheffield Wednesday. But you're looking at that and you could say they could easily then be coming away with 2 points in two games as well.
Definitely.
Just like ultimately you could say they should be getting 3 points against Rotherham, had Rotherham not scored late on or fairly late on.
Yeah.
So Saints are definitely where they deserve to be, I think, for sure. But you just want to see some games where they really take it to opposition. And as I say, Rotherham, had they gone 2-0 up with that chance on 3 minutes, then you're probably talking, you're looking back at your last two home games as totally controlling both home games.
Yeah, it's just such a shame, isn't it, the way that it went.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it goes to show how things can change so easy in a game of football and how it's said it earlier, but just how everything is such fine margin sometimes.
Yeah.
But I don't think they're that far away. I think they're certainly the last three games are signs of encouragement. I do think it wasn't a great game at Stoke, but it was a professional performance. Good to get that clean sheet. And I feel like that's important now, getting that clean sheet. And the defence has definitely improved. 5 goals in 5 games conceded. It could be better, but I feel like that's certainly something to build on as well.
It's definitely going to have to get better as well. We've got 2 tough away games next up at Hull and Preston. That's going to be, both of them are going to be really, really tricky games.
Now, that's the thing, isn't it? Because that's why you look at the Rotherham game and you say, win that one, 9 points in 8 days. Everyone's absolutely buzzing going into the break. And you can attack the whole game now, going, oh, 4 wins in 4. This is a big opportunity. But just to lose that bit of momentum and that impetus, you then go, as you say, Hull away, Preston away, Birmingham at home, 3 teams who are doing well this season, and then games against Millwall and West Brom. So you all of a sudden, after drawing that Rotherham game, thinking, oh, you know, 5 tough games to come.
Yeah.
Whereas if you win that game, you're going into it thinking, I'm going to make it 4 wins, make it 5. You don't really care who you're playing so much.
Exactly.
So it does add the pressure. But if you can get a win at Hull City, then it's all looking rosy again.
It does. Actually, there is one thing I wanted to ask you about the men's team. Everyone loves to play manager without ever seeing training sessions, etc. But if you were in charge, I mean, what would be your strongest Saints 11, and assuming that everybody is fit? I mean, who would you select?
It would be, obviously, Bazunu in goal. Back 4, Walker Peters and Manning, the fullbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Centre-back would be...
Tricky one.
It's difficult, isn't it? Because I would put... At the moment, I would put Harwood. I think you'll definitely have Harwood Bellis as one of the two. I would put, if Stevens was fully fit, I would probably put Stevens there, actually.
No Bednarik.
No, it's a difficult, but I would put them. I mean, they've done well, those two together. But I also feel like Stevens and Harwood Bellis, if Stevens was fit, would have done well as a partnership. I think with Stevens at the back there. It's a tight one.
It is.
But I would put those two at the back together. I would put in midfield, I'd put Downs, and then I would put... It depends who you're playing as well, with the balance of the team defensively.
Yeah.
But I'd definitely put Alcaraz in there as one of the 3 midfielders. And I would probably put... If you're talking a really exciting attacking team, it's like... I mean, you might be looking at 4-4 games, but I'd put Stuart Armstrong in there as well.
Definitely. So Shay Charles and Will Smallbone and Joe Rebo miss out.
Yeah, I'd say so. Again, it's difficult. Smallbone and Bednarik would just miss out.
Okay.
Like by a whisker, I would say.
And the 3 forwards?
And the 3 forwards would be Adam Armstrong.
Can't leave him out at the moment.
No, you can't. No, not at all. Sulemana, of course.
Yeah.
Don't think you can leave him out either, because I mean, what he does with the ball is frightening sometimes.
Outrageous.
Yeah.
And then that's the third. The other one, I wouldn't have a Dozy at the moment, to be honest. I would have to leave him out, in truth.
You go Shay?
Oh, I don't know. It's a difficult... That's the balancing act of whether you play Adam Armstrong and Shay Adams at the moment.
Mm. And then you've got the likes of Ryan Fraser, you've got Sekou Mara, you've got Ross Stewart as well, who's just coming back.
You've got Ross Stewart, yeah, that's true. I think it's easy to forget Ross Stewart, isn't it? Because he only signed and not been back. So I would put Stewart up front, actually. Adam Armstrong and Sulemana off them. Stewart, Armstrong and Alcaraz in midfield with Downs.
Interesting.
So that would be my 11.
Excellent. I just want to have a quick chat about the women's team. Great start to the season for them. Top of the league. 3 goal difference to Sunderland in second. Actually, they're playing in the League Cup right now against Bristol. I did actually watch the first half. They were 1-0 down and it's 1-1 now. So that's good. Just the 2 losses so far from the 6. The new signings look good. I think Molly Pike settled in amazingly. There's a real sense of positivity this year with them. And so you've got Durham at Snow Stadium on Sunday, but I just feel like that everyone's the women's team's in a great position and they've got a real good chance to go up this year.
Yeah, and it feels like they're probably one of about 5 or 6 teams you feel could have a really good go at it. The Saints are certainly one of those this season, and away from home they're starting to score some goals this season. You know, you've got two at Watford, four at Reading, four at Lewis. And the last game of last season at Coventry, they scored four. The last campaign, you feel like they were scoring one or two. They were very tight affairs last year. They often win 1-0 or they draw 0-0, lose 1-0. But the goals are coming. As you say, Molly Pike's been a massive difference for them with her goals. Not only the goals, but the, what she creates. She won a penalty at Reading. And then I feel like the signings they've bought in as well. They've bought in four or five really key players with Super League experience. And you've got Rihanna Dean now who's fit up front from Palace. So that is going to add a different dimension to it. Atlanta Primus in midfield. And the bench now, last season, I don't think there was the strength and depth to bring off the bench last season to really make an impact. Whereas this season, there's a big difference now in the quality of players they can bring on and change things. Last season, maybe the substitutes made the team a bit weaker. But now,
strength and depth.
Going into the last half an hour of the game, there's big chance for players to come in and change things around. And it's showing at the moment because they're picking up the points and they're right at the top of the table.
Yeah, so they're playing Bristol City, who are in the I think they're in the Super League, aren't they, at the moment? Yeah, they went up last year, didn't they? So, and I say they've only it's 1-1.
Last season there were penalties and you had the bonus point if you drew the famous bonus point that you would get.
Like in ice hockey.
Yeah, you get the extra point. Yeah, right? Penalty shootout for a point, but one of those losses was against Sunderland, and then they had a real blip against Birmingham, which Birmingham was struggling. We handed them their first win, so I don't quite know what happened there. Was it a little bit of complacency, maybe?
Perhaps, although if Birmingham City also, I would say, have been underachieving so far this season, because two of those games they had a player sent off. Both of those games they lost. And they finished second last season and won their last seven matches of the campaign.
Wow.
So they did brilliantly at the end of last season. And also they've strengthened their squad. So it did seem strange that they were where they were in the table. And they picked up a point, I think, last Sunday. So they're starting to turn the corner. And actually, looking at Saints against Birmingham looked like the best team that have played Southampton actually so far this season, so maybe
did look good.
They did look really strong, so perhaps Birmingham were in a false position and they'll start moving up the table. I'd certainly imagine that is the case, and they'll probably go from strength to strength, but it was just a difficult game for Saints, that one, and perhaps they've had the defeat against Sunderland and Birmingham, which shows that it is going to be tight. A couple of wake-up calls for them as well, that they're not the finished article, but the way they've performed this season, I don't see any reason why they can't be right up there competing at the end of the season.
Yeah. Oh, actually, it is penalties for the bonus point. I've just seen on their Twitter feed. So, they're at penalties now. Damn it, I was watching that game as well.
the all-important bonus point. And even if they finish last with the final group game, they've still got to play the bonus point when it means nothing. So that'll
weird.
Be interesting if that happens.
Excellent. Okay, so where do Saints finish this season, men's team?
I'd say sixth.
That's what I predicted, Kev.
Just in those playoffs.
Yeah, lose in the playoffs. That's what I said.
Favorite ground that you've visited
this season, or generally?
In general, yeah.
Ever.
Anfield.
Apart from St Mary's, of course. Least favourite. I mean, by this, I mean just making your job difficult, like whether it be space issues or the view or whatever.
Dover Athletic, because you've got a pillar to the left, a pillar to the right. You can't see either goal. So that doesn't help with you. When you commentate on the game, that doesn't help.
Oh, it's like Crystal Palace away. That's
Yes, exactly.
Next season, are the women's team going to be in the Super League?
Yes.
Yeah,
they're going to win the league.
Excellent. Most memorable match you've commentated on?
Ooh, that's most memorable match.
You can't remember.
Only, I would say, this season, just because it's the one that sticks out for me most recently. I'm sure there's been a lot more memorable matches than this.
4-4.
But the 4-4, Southampton to Norwich, and nearly the 5-4 right at the end.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say the 4-4.
It was great. Good game.
It was.
Yeah, any team that you don't like commentating on?
Pompey. Sorry, I'll stop the Pompey Giants now.
Did compensating four or just generally?
Yeah, four or about.
Again, I'm going to say anybody with stripes on the back that I can't see the team. So Sunderland, Newcastle.
Saints.
Anybody like that. So, although Saints isn't, I think Saints is all right. Because
it's kind of half and half, isn't it? Stripes within
the stripes. Their kit this season makes it absolutely impossible to read the, if like, I mean, you know the players, so it's not really a problem. Whereas, exactly. If you're trying to figure out what number is that, 12 or 17? I can't see.
But it's all right when you do them. It's just the opposition when you go, oh no. Mm. But
yeah.
We've got a bunch. Yeah.
I've got a few more. Favorite player?
I think I'm gonna say Salamana just because you don't know what he's gonna do next.
Yeah.
He's
just so
knows.
Unpredictable. He's just so fun to watch.
Most difficult name to pronounce.
I don't know. I can't pronounce it.
We've drink quite a lot of these, to be honest.
I think the one we were talking about earlier, the under-21s player, Evertonen, the one who's got about 20 letters in his
name. Is that how you pronounce it, Evertonen?
Evertonen, yeah. I asked somebody at the club how to pronounce it, and they said it's Evertonen. So unless they've got it wrong.
I was calling him a Batcherman because of I was listening to Radio Solent.
No.
Completely blank. Yeah, Adam Blackmore. And I listened to him commentating on it, and he said a Batcherman. And I thought, oh, is that how you pronounce it? See, now Evertonen. So I've been doing it wrong.
Yeah, well, somebody at the club said, because I had a little look at the list of names, and I think it was before the last or the first Saints under 21s game. And I said, how on earth? How do you pronounce this person? And they said, oh, it's just Evertonen. I said, oh, that's all right then. I was thinking it was...
Write it out phonetically, yeah.
10 syllables, yeah.
Finally, best footy scrum that you've had on your travels?
I tell you what, the best one has got to be a few years ago. I was at Kidderminster Harriers, and they didn't just do pies. Well, they did do pies, but it wasn't just a steak and kidney. It was proper cottage pie.
Oh, wow.
£6, but worth every single penny. And it's renowned, I think, for being one of the best as far as food is concerned in the division or in the country. So I'm going to say Kidderminster Harriers.
Super. Yeah. Is that one from when you were commentating on Eastleigh?
It was, and they played them. Fortunately, they went there and played them three times in one season. They were in the FA Cup. And then there were another trophy and in the league. So you
had a lot of pies.
I had three cottage pies, yeah, and cost me about £20 for three trips. But again,
if you ever have any trouble with any player names, then please think of Kevin. You can have some elocution.
Too much responsibility.
Oh, yeah, I know where to go now. That's much easier than having to go through YouTube.
Yeah, exactly. Just message Kevin. He'll sort it out for you. Or please give our best to Dean. Tell him we love him and we want to...
We really do.
Yeah, we want him to come back. Yeah. So if you can get him to come back on our show, we'd love it.
I will do. I'll pass the message on. I'll get him to come back on.
Fantastic.
Lovely stuff.
Yeah, Ian, thank you. Thank you so much for coming on and giving up your valuable time. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, no worries. No, enjoyed it. Thanks for having me on anytime.
Brilliant. Yeah, sorry about the... Sorry about the pronunciation thing.
Oh, no, it's good. I think we got there between us.
Excellent.
Yeah, great. Thanks brilliant. To you both. Appreciate
Cheers.
It.
Thank you very much, mate. Up the Saints.
Cheers. Yeah, absolutely. Cheers. Thanks a lot. See you later on.
Up the Saints.
Up at Southampton.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win?
Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.